Have you ever been freaked out by a situation in your life when you just didn't know what to do? And so you're scared to move, you're scared not to move, you know you need to do something, but you don't know what it is. Or maybe you're in a situation where you know what it is that you need to do, but you're fearful of taking that step because you don't know about the consequences on the other side of your actions. I believe that that's something that we all deal with in our life from time to time. And if we're not careful, that can paralyze us and keep us from jumping into everything that it is that God has for us in our life. So today I want to share with you three quick keys from Scripture that are going to help you to be able to deal with your fear, will help you understand how you can get God's wisdom in your life of what you should do, and the promise that if you will obey what He tells you, that He's going to bring a great victory and a great testimony to your life. So if that sounds good, today's message is most definitely going to be for you. So don't tune me out. Watch this. It's going to help you. And so let's talk about it. Thank you for being here, and welcome to The Refuge. About 7 or 8 years ago now, I was pastoring the church here at The Refuge. Things were going well. We had moved from our original building in Bandon, Oregon, to a better building in Coos Bay. Church was growing, things were doing good, but at the same time, I was working at another job, and it was a good job, a great job actually, for the area that I live in. It was good pay, 401k, retirement, insurance, paid vacations, you know, benefits, all sorts of stuff. It was a really great job, but as the church was growing and we were progressing, I really felt like God was dealing with me to leave that job and really focus on pastoring full time. And so that went on for a while, and you know, I was getting confirmations from different places, people that didn't even know my situation, that would kind of say, hey, I think God's calling you into a new season, and lots of stuff like that. Lots of confirmations, but at the same time, I had a lot of anxiety, a lot of, you know, fear, just straight out. I was fearful of what would happen if I left the security of that job and really launched out, because even though things that were going well with the church, we weren't really, you know, a wealthy church. There was not a lot of extra money. We're making the bills and we're doing all of that, but there was not a lot of extra money. And so I was really kind of, debating with God, which is never a good idea, but I was doing it. I was debating with God whether to leave his job or not. And it just came to the point when I was so convinced that this needed to happen, and I made the decision to do it. But at the same time, I didn't know where God was going to lead that. I didn't know what the next step necessarily was going to be when I left that job. I didn't know where the finances were going to come from. I didn't know, because I got a wife, I got kids, I got responsibilities. And so it was really an anxious time in my life, but I really felt like God was calling me to do that. And so I made that decision and I left that job. It was a hard decision to make. But here I am 7 or 8 years later, and God has been super faithful. And through just the normal activities of the church, or sometimes through miraculous provisions, many times there's been miraculous provisions of one way or the other, God has been faithful. And so now what at one point was a fearful thing to me, an anxious thing, I didn't know what to do or how it was going to work out, now has become a testimony in my life. And I look back on that and I see God's hand in all of it, and it's pretty amazing. And I share that story whenever I can, because it's a testimony of God's faithfulness. But what I want to say is it would never have become a testimony had I not went through that anxious place, that fearful place. And that's really what I want to kind of talk about today, is if you're going to get to the next level with God, or maybe you're going through a situation in your life and it's a fearful situation, a health thing or a financial thing or something with a relationship, and you know, it's causing you fear, or you don't know what to do, you're lacking wisdom on what to do, I want to share with you today some tips on how to get through that and really get to the other side of that and have that testimony that you can look back and say, God brought me through that and God gave me a great victory in the midst of that. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe that in our Christian life, God wants us not to just kind of move through life. He wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live the life that we are created and designed to live. And sometimes to live that life, we have to face fear, and we have to face situations when we don't know what to do, we don't know the outcome, and we have to blow through those situations with the hand of God with us in order to get to those places. So we've been talking about the importance of seeing things from God's perspective and how seeing things from God's perspective helps us to do that very thing that we've been talking about. I've been sharing with you over the last couple weeks this quote from Helen Keller, and I love this quote. She said, "One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar. One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar." And so if you want to soar in your life, if you want to soar through your fears, soar through your struggles, get to that place of abundant life where you're soaring with God, then you have to understand this thing, and this is my bottom line. If you want to soar, first you must see. If you want to soar, first you must see. And so we have to see things from God's perspective. We've been talking about that. We're going to continue that today. And today I want to give you three keys on how to soar through fear and soar through those times when you lack wisdom and come out on the other side of that victorious with a great testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. And I want to go back to the scripture that we began with last week and kind of reiterate that. Before I read that scripture to you, I want to just give you some backstory that leads up to my text for today. And that is that the king of Syria was attacking the king of Israel. He was attacking Israel. And so he was planning on coming and defeating them. But God kept telling the prophet Elisha what the king of Syria was going to do. And so when God would reveal to Elisha what the king of Syria was going to do, Elisha would go to the king of Israel and say, "Hey, here's what the king's going to do. He's going to attack you here at this place at this time." And so the king of Israel would always thwart the plans of the king of Syria. So much so that the king of Syria believed that he had a spy in amongst his ranks. And so he went to his people and he said, "Hey, who's spying on me? And who's telling the king of Israel what's going on?" And one of his servants said to him, "Nobody's spying on you. It's that God is revealing to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha is going and telling the king of Israel everything that you're doing." So the king of Syria sends his army to go and capture Elisha because he's going to put a stop to this. So that brings me to my text today, is that one morning Elisha's servant gets up and he walks outside and he looks up and he sees that he's surrounded by the enemy's army. And that's what brings me to my text today. So Elisha says to his servant, because the servant comes back in and goes, "Man, we're surrounded. They're coming for us. What are we going to do?" And here's Elisha's response. And for 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, it says this. "So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." Okay, so from this story of Elisha and his servant, and I want to share with you another Bible story here in just a moment, I want to give you three quick keys on how to walk through fearful situations, how to walk through situations where you lack wisdom, and how you come out the other side with a great victory and a great testimony. And key number one is this. Key number one is, don't be afraid to admit your fear and your lack of wisdom. Don't be afraid to admit your fear and your lack of wisdom. So Elisha, in our story today, Elisha's servant goes out and he is freaked out. Rightly so. They're surrounded by an enemy. And that enemy is coming for them. And so he's freaked out by it. He's fearful. And he's not afraid to admit that fear to Elisha. He runs in and he says to Elisha, man, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. You know, in the church sometimes, there is what I believe is a bit of a false teaching. I don't necessarily think it's on purpose, but there's kind of a false idea that we have that if we ever admit that we're fearful of anything, or if we ever admit that we don't know what to do in a situation, that somehow we're lacking faith in God. And so in the church, a lot of times, you've got people coming to church every week. You've got people fellowshipping together, Bible studies together, and they're dealing with anxious situations in their life. They're afraid, but they're not only afraid of the situation, but they're afraid to admit that they have this anxiety because it's somehow they're lacking faith if they admit that. And so I want to point out to you today that Elisha's servant was not afraid to come to Elisha and say, hey, what are we going to do? Because sometimes when you're willing to admit your fear and you're willing to admit that you don't know what to do, that can sometimes open up a path to a supernatural intervention from God, a supernatural strategy from God that will cause you to walk through that situation and come out the other side with a great testimony. You never would have saw it or thought that would be the way it was going to happen, but God will do it. And we can never get to that place if we never will admit, you know, the servant, Elisha's servant comes to Elisha, and Elisha is the man of God. So essentially the servant is bringing his fear to the man of God and saying, look, I am afraid, but I'm coming to you because I believe that in you the answers will come. You know, there's another story in Scripture of a king who was facing a very similar situation to Elisha and his servant. And that king was Jehoshaphat. And one day, Jehoshaphat they come to him and they say, we are surrounded, not by one army, like Elisha and his servant, not by two armies, but by three armies that are surrounding them, that are coming to take them captive, probably to kill them, to take all their stuff. And that's a fearful thing. You had the Moabite army, the Ammonite army, and the Edomite army are surrounding Judah, and they are coming for them, and they are coming for the king. And so the scripture says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. I really encourage you to go read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But kind of paraphrasing the story, in 20, verse 3, it says Jehoshaphat feared. Jehoshaphat feared. And so there was a justified fear in the king because it didn't look good for them. And so he wasn't afraid to admit he was fearful, but here's the thing. And this goes along with the key. Don't be afraid to admit your fear, is that Jehoshaphat admitted his fear, but he admitted it in the right way, in the right context, to the right person. Because Jehoshaphat takes his fear to God. And so as we read through 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see that Jehoshaphat responds to his fear in a very right way to God. And so, you know, last week, and again, if you have not gone back and watched the first two parts of this series, I want to encourage you to go back and watch those, because both of part one and part two have led up to today. So there's some things in there that I'm assuming that you know from the last messages. So if you haven't checked them out, go check them out. But last week we talked about the fact that if we're going to overcome and we're going to see from God's perspective, that we have to put a certain pattern into our life. And that pattern is this: pray, word, worship, repeat. Pray, word, worship, repeat. That if we place that pattern of prayer, of the word of God, of worshiping God into our life, it will begin to shift our perspective, and we'll begin to see things from God's perspective instead of seeing things from the perspective of the physical world around us. And so that's what King Jehoshaphat did. He's surrounded by three armies, and he's fearful of what's about to happen. But here's what he did. He did four things, and I want to point these four things out, because these four things are the very same things that we need to do as well. Number one, he proclaimed a fast. He began to take his fear to God. He wasn't afraid to admit it. He wasn't afraid to admit the situation was as real as it was, but he proclaimed a fast and he began to seek God. The second thing that he began to do is he began to worship. If you read through 2 Chronicles 20, he begins to worship God, and he says things like that God is the God of heaven. He's the God that rules the nations, that he is the powerful and the mighty God. He is the God who has driven out multiple armies before his people before, and if he did it before, he can do it again. He begins not only to worship and to pray, but he begins to lift up the promises of God out of the word of God. He says, God, you said, and this is going back to the time of King Solomon. He said, you said that if we were ever in trouble, that we could come to you and we could pray to you, and that you would hear and that you would respond. And then the fourth thing that he did is that he began to present his fear and his lack of knowledge to God. And that brings us to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, where Jehoshaphat says this. He says, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against their great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do." But here's the key. "But our eyes are upon you." See, Jehoshaphat was not afraid to admit he didn't know what to do. In fact, he says this. He says, "We have no power and we have no idea what to do, but what we are going to do is put our eyes on you, God." And so he, prayer, worship, word, repeat. He begins to go before God with prayer. He begins to worship God. He begins to repeat the promises of God. And then he admits his fear to God. And he says, "Our eyes are upon you. I could look at these three armies that are surrounding me, but I choose, God, to look at you, because I know that no matter the size of the army, no matter what the thing is that I'm dealing with," and this is for you today, no matter what fearful situation you may be dealing with, no matter what it is that you don't know what to do or how to do it, if you'll put your eyes on God, you can know and you can trust that he is the God that can be trusted, and he will come through for you. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat does. He says, "We don't have any power and we don't know what to do, but we're putting our eyes upon you because we know that you know what to do." And so sometimes we're so busy stressing out about the stuff that we fear, and we're so busy trying to figure out what we don't know, and we're not figuring it out, so we get more stressed out, and we're so busy doing all of that we don't simply come before God and go, "God, look, I'm afraid. This situation has got me, it's got me twisted. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. And I admit that to you, but I also know that if I put my eyes on you, that you will know what to do." And that is going to lead me into my second key for today. Key number one was that you have to admit your fear and your lack of wisdom. Okay, don't be afraid to admit it to God. Bring it to him. Bring it to him and say, "I'm afraid. I don't know what to do." That's key number one. Key number two is this. See the strategy. See the strategy. Because if you go to God, here's one thing I want to say to you today. If you go to God and you're dealing with fear and wisdom and you put your trust in him, your trust in God will not be met with apathy from God. Your trust in God will not be met with apathy from God. If you say, "God, I'm afraid, I lack wisdom, but I'm coming and I'm looking at you, I'm putting my eyes on you," and God is not going to sit up there and just let you kind of twist out in the wind. God is going to respond, and he's going to bring a strategy to you on how to walk through that situation in your life. But here's another little aside that I got to throw out to you. Sometimes that strategy seems like it makes no sense. Sometimes that strategy, just to be honest with you, sometimes that strategy just is weird. It's just weird. If we go back to Elisha and his servants, the craziest thing is revealed as the strategy to defeat this army that's surrounding them. Let me just read this to you. In verse 18 there that we read earlier, it says, "So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha." Back up. Elisha's servant is freaked out. So Elisha says, prays for his servant, and Elisha's servant's eyes are open, and he sees that they are surrounded by a mighty angelic army of horses and chariots of fire, and yet the strategy to defeat that enemy is to pray that they go blind? What are you talking about? So my question that I want to throw out there is, why in the world did Elisha have to pray for his servant to have his eyes open? And when his eyes were open, why did he see an angelic army? Because if you were to look at that situation from a human perspective, you would think that he would open up, he'd see this army that is surrounding, this angelic army surrounding this earthly army, and that angelic army is going to fly in, they're going to destroy the enemy's army, and there will be a great victory, and Elisha and his servant will be a part of this great victory. And yet Elisha's servant sees this angelic army, but the strategy, now here's the thing, the strategy has nothing to do with that angelic army. So why did Elisha's servant need to see that angelic army? And here's why I believe. Because sometimes we need to see that God is with us before God reveals his strategy to us. Because sometimes the strategy seems weird. Sometimes the strategy seems like it doesn't make sense. And if we don't know that God is with us, we won't have the faith to trust the strategy. And so sometimes God needs to just say, hey, you need to know that I'm with you, that I am in the midst of this. So that when the strategy is revealed to us to walk through a situation, it may seem weird, it may seem like it makes no sense, but I know if God is in it, if that's where God is, that's where I can go and I'll be okay. So Elisha prays for his servant to have his eyes opened. Elisha's servant realizes that God is with them. So when Elisha begins to unveil the strategy, there's a certain amount of faith and trust in knowing that God is with them. And so the entirety of that strategy, again, that God gives to Elisha seems to make no sense from a human perspective. Here's the strategy that God gives Elisha to defeat this overwhelming army that is surrounding them. He says, God says to Elisha, I want you to pray that they be struck with blindness. Then I want you to lie to them about who you are and say, I'm not Elisha, but I'll lead you to Elisha. Then I want you to lead them into the capital city. I want you to pray for them again that their eyes would be opened and they would see. And then I want you to feed them a really super awesome dinner. And then I want you to send them home. Now what kind of strategy is that? Pray for them to be blind, lead them into the capital city, pray for them to see again, feed them a really great dinner, and then send them home. What kind of not going to work crazy strategy is that? And yet that was the strategy that God revealed to Elisha. And when Elisha did that, what the scripture says is that after that Syrian army left them, they never came back again. And so the strategy seemed weird, but the strategy was successful because God was in it. So if you'll put your eyes on God, God will reveal to you what to do. But sometimes it seems like, man, that doesn't make sense. But if you'll trust it, God is going to lead you into that place of victory. When you look at the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we would think maybe there'll be a more climactic end to that story than the one with Elisha. But when you look at that story with the army of Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites surrounding Israel, the strategy that God reveals to Jehoshaphat is not any less weird than the one that was revealed to Elisha. So here's the strategy that God gives to Jehoshaphat to defeat three armies. He says, here's how I'm going to have your little army defeat three armies. Four-point strategy. Point number one, I want you to stand still, do nothing, and just trust me. I want you to stand still, do nothing, and just trust me. Strategy point number two, he says, I want not only you to stand still and trust me, but I want your army to do nothing. To defeat three armies, I want your army to do nothing. The third point of this strategy is that I want you to take your worship team, your worship leaders, your worshipers, I want you to set them out in front of the army that is doing nothing. And point four, I want them to just put out a rockin' worship service, and I want you just to start worshiping me. Now, again, what kind of not gonna work, crazy, weird, bizarre strategy is it to defeat three armies by having your army do nothing, putting worshipers out in front? You know, here at the church, it's like, you know, we have a really amazing worship team here at the Refuge. And let's suppose that we're surrounded by the armies of Russia and China and North Korea, and they are coming for us. And my response to that is, hey, worship team, go stand outside and play your guitar and your piano and sing songs to God. That strategy can't work. Are you kidding me? But the Bible says, Scripture says, when they began to do that four-point strategy, that God began to set ambushes against the enemy, and those three armies that were coming for the people of Israel began to turn on each other, and they destroyed each other, and Israel won a great victory by standing still and doing nothing and just simply worshiping God. So what am I trying to say? Sometimes God's strategy for you to get through your fear, sometimes his response to your lack of wisdom may seem like it doesn't make sense. It may seem weird, but if you'll trust it and you'll know that God is in the middle of it, then you're going to be okay. And that leads me to point number three. What was point number one? Don't be afraid to admit your fear to God. Don't be afraid to admit what you don't know. Point number two is that you have to see God's strategy for your situation. And you have to understand that sometimes it may seem weird, and sometimes it's going to take a leap of faith on your part. But that leads me to key number three, and key number three is this. You have to do the strategy that you see. You can't just see it, you have to do it. In both of our cases today, with Elisha and his servant, it makes no sense to pray for them to be struck with blindness, lead them into the town, pray again that they can see, feed them an awesome dinner, and then send them home. How could that possibly bring a great victory to Elisha and his servant? And yet, when they obeyed, God brought the victory. When you look at the situation with Jehoshaphat and his army, you look at that and you go, how is it possible that to have an army do nothing and to have worshipers just sing songs to God and you can defeat three armies that way? That makes no sense. But when Jehoshaphat and the people obeyed the strategy, then God brought the great victory. And I want to say this to you today. There is no victory without obedience. If you haven't heard anything else I'm saying today, I need you to hear what I'm saying right now. There is no victory without obedience. It's not enough simply to know what God wants you to do if you do not respond to what God wants you to do. Back when I was sharing with you about how God was really leading me to quit my job, and I knew that for a long time, but I never came into the victory. I never came into the miraculous provisions. I never came into God's testimony until I obeyed what he was telling me. So you can't just see the strategy of God. You have to act on the strategy of God. And so when you're in a fearful situation, and I'm getting ready to wrap up here, I want you to just remember this. When you're battling a fearful situation, or if you're in a place when you're lacking wisdom and you don't know what to do, admit your fear, admit your lack of wisdom to God. Put your eyes on him, and he will show you what to do. He will, because he's a trustworthy God. He will show you what to do. But when he shows you what to do, no matter if it makes no sense to you, no matter if it seems weird to you, you have to obey what he's showing you. And if you do, he will bring a great victory to your life. He will bring you through your fear. I guarantee it, because his word guarantees it. And I guarantee it not only because his word guarantees it, but because God has done it in my life. So I'm telling you, from the other side of the testimony, you can trust God with your fear. And if you lack wisdom and you don't know what your next step is going to be, you can trust him to reveal to you what you need to do. But then you have to act on it. You have to be obedient. You have to do the strategy that you see. And if you will do that, you will find a great victory in your life, and you will have a great testimony. And someday you'll be able to encourage somebody else by saying, one time I was in a fearful situation. One time I didn't know what to do, but God came through. He showed me what to do. I obeyed him, and he came through. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. And that's what I'm going to say here for you today. If he did it for me, and he continues to do it for me, he'll do it to you, because our God is no respecter of persons. He loves you. And I love you. I want to pray for you today. Father, thank you for everyone that's watching or listening to this today. I pray, Father, that whatever situations that we deal with in our life that sometimes cause fear or anxiety, or we're dealing with situations we don't know what to do, thank you. Thank you that we can come to you, that we can admit to you that we don't know what to do, and that you will reveal your strategy to us. But then I pray, Father, you would empower us to make that choice to be obedient to you. And when we make that choice, that you would work out every situation for our good. And you will, because your word says you will. And we trust you. We thank you for that today. We love you. God, thank you for everyone that's watching today. Let them be blessed and anointed and walk in your favor. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you for joining me today. As I do and say every single week, you don't have to watch this, you don't have to listen, but you are. So I thank you for doing it. I pray that God blesses you. If you like what you're hearing, drop a comment in the box down below and let me know. If you don't like what you're hearing, drop a comment in the box, let me know. I just want to know that you're here. Hit the like button, the share button, the subscribe button. Let us help us get the word out to the world. We want to let the world know that God is the God who will bring great victory to our life. And so we appreciate your help with that. So have a great day today. God bless you.